This is Jay Sekulow. It's Friday. We've got multi-topics, and we're going to take your calls on a variety of issues.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. It's Friday. We're going to do something a little bit different. We've done this a couple of times. We're going to do it today. We're going to take a variety of questions and a variety of comments that you have on a whole host of topics. And if you have some that we're not talking about, it's Friday. We're going to let you do that as well. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. There are a couple issues we're going to hit, but there's other topics we're open to talk about. One of them is a big development from the White House on Israel and a peace plan rollout. We're going to talk about that. Big economic news that's coming out as well. And that's an important. Our director of policy, who's a law and economics professor, Harry Hutchinson, is going to be in to talk about that. And we just have general questions that you might have at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. There is a lot of talk on the Israel peace plan issue. I need to say that at the outset. We have sent proposals in to various agencies what our recommendations would be for this kind of situation. I think that the proposal that's going to be led by Jared Kushner and Jason Greenblatt, of course, the president is the one ultimately in charge of this, will be something that actually can get us there. And I think having the Jerusalem embassy moved and the United States formally recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel also allows this next process to unfold successfully. I really think that is a very positive move, very positive development.
I think on the Palestinian side, as much as they have complained so much about that Jerusalem recognition and we'll never listen to the U.S., they've got one major economic problem. Once the Trump administration put a halt to Palestinian funding, out of the money that they were due to receive just this year was $251 million in aid conditions. That got cut only after they had received $90 million. So, that is a significant downfall for their economic issues. But it's not just that 251. Add another $65 million that the UN Relief and Works Agency has also had frozen from the United States. So we're talking, you add that up, you were talking about a total of about $351 million that was going to go to, or about $310 million that was going to go to Palestinian interest. They have only received $90 million. That was before the Trump administration put a halt to it. So they have an economic reason, a real economic reason, to get involved in this. I mean, and to make a deal. Or else, again, their economies continue to fall, which weakens their leaders.
Yeah, there's also, we're going to talk about Brett Kavanaugh. In great article out today in, it's just a great piece, and it's entitled, it's in Politico. It's entitled, "I'm a Liberal Feminist Lawyer. Here's Why Democrats should support Judge Kavanaugh." And it says, "Sometimes a superstar is just a superstar." I've known Brett Kavanaugh for 25 years, and I think what a great pick he will be and what a great Supreme Court nominee he'll be. But then, we're going to talk about that too, already attempts to, look, the first Monday of October is when the Supreme Court starts, and we're already hearing that he may not be in place the first Monday in October.
Well, that's true, Jay, but look, it's just attempts to stonewall and delay. There has not been a single substantive argument made against Brett Kavanaugh, both in the article that you mentioned and in the, by the way, almost 1 million documents that have already begun to be turned over and reviewed. And, Jay, look, it's going to take a Republican voting against Brett Kavanaugh to not put him on the bench. It looks like there will not be one. It looks like every single Republican is on board. But let me tell you this. This is just an example of how careful or not careful the consideration has been on the Democrat side of the aisle in Washington, D.C. Jay, how many Democrats have sat down and met with Brett Kavanaugh to actually discuss their substantive concerns? One, Joe Manchin from West Virginia, and after that meeting, he came away saying that Brett Kavanaugh had all the qualifications you look for in a Supreme Court nominee. He's going to be confirmed eventually, Jay.
Oh, there's no question about it. I want to get him in there the first Monday in October. All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Hey, again, thank you for your response in July for our matching challenge campaign. We did great because of you. Thank you. Also, we're now in August, and that's our second month of that matching challenge, and you can do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We encourage you to do that. We come back from the break. I'm going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. As we said, it's Friday, so we're going to take a call on a variety of issues. You give us a call. We've got a lot more ahead. We come back from the break.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So here's what's happening. There's beginning to be what's called a staff up on the issue of the Israel-Palestinian peace plan. The White House is anticipating unveiling its plan very shortly. It's been led by Jason Greenblatt and Jared Kushner. We've met with Jared Kushner and a couple of times on the peace plan issue. I met with Alan Dershowitz and on that issue with people at the White House. And I'm optimistic. There's going to be three units, one concentrating on its political and security details, one on significant economic focus, and that's important for the Palestinian Authority and for the people in the Palestinian Authority, and one on strategic communications. So that's coming out. Now, at the same time, to show you, not only do we actually put forward some ideas on the peace plan, we've actually also, as you know, do an active Freedom of Information request practice. This is our first quarterly report on our FOIA cases. On page 9 of that report is the ACLJ FOIA lawsuit demanding State Department reports concerning alleged fraudulent UNRWA funding to Palestinian refugees. And that's because they were saying there are 7 million Palestinian refugees. And we find out, there's a whole lot less.
A whole lot less of people. You realize
hundreds of thousands, but not seven or 20 million.
No, and you know you can figure that out real quickly if you go to these territories.
Yes,
I mean you see Gaza, the reported population. I mean, if you believe that even what's reported, I mean it's like 4 million that are actually in the area anymore. And on top of that, the amount of money. And I will say, if this amount of money goes into the UN, which we were, you know, under the Obama administration. In their final year of funding, we're the number one funder, of course, the UN Refugee, the Relief and Works Agency, only for Palestinians in these, you know, these areas, basically. So you've got these refugee areas in Gaza, and mostly this is West Bank right now because of Hamas in the Gaza Strip.
Right.
Okay. They send $350 million. Now, that's just because we're the single largest donor. That is not the total. That is because that's just from the United States. If you could go into those territories, now may not be a great time if you're visiting Israel to go into those territories, but we've spent plenty of time in them before. Where is that money going? Because if we send $350 million, and that's not the entire budget, in 1 year,
yep.
Bethlehem should be looking a lot better. Jericho should be looking, yep, a lot better. Ramallah should be looking a lot better. And honestly, the people in the Palestinian, in those territories, should be living a much better lifestyle. So, and they're not. So either the money is the typical UN corruption of UN officials mixed in with Palestinian corruption of leaders filling their personal coffers in Switzerland with offshore accounts with these dollars. Because it obviously, if you've been to the region, whatever side you are, pro-Israel, pro-Palestine, Those people are not getting, they're not getting the money in Palestine.
Nope. So we filed a series of Freedom of Information Act requests, and we put in a report that the ACLJ has reason to believe that the Obama State Department was aware of other U.S. funds used to further an agenda aimed at weakening Israel on the world stage. Based on media reports and publicized efforts by Congress, the ACLJ issued these FOIA requests to the State Department and subsequently filed a federal lawsuit to obtain documents concerning the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine, UNRWA, including a specific report on UNRWA, which indicates the awareness by the State Department officials of fraud by the United Nations created agency to which the United States has donated hundreds of millions of dollars each year. And rather than disclose it publicly or even to Congress, the State Department chose to classify the report. Now, Than, we filed a federal lawsuit and we're the first ones to get our hands on at least some of that report.
Yeah, it's a report holding in my hands right now, Jay. Came to us just a matter of weeks ago. There are still significant redactions, but look, it's a report that talks about the numbers that you and Jordan just discussed. Look, there were only 800,000 alleged refugees in 1948 when this conflict ended, and yet somehow the State Department and UNRWA have been claiming more than 5 million refugees. Of course, that can't be true just by the math, Jay, but we had reason to believe that there was a report that documented the exact numbers. The reports were that there were probably somewhere between 20 and 30,000 of these individuals alive 70 years later. Jay, Senator Mark Kirk had really pushed for the release, the declassification of this report. They had refused to give it to Congress. Jay, we now have it, but here's the thing. They redacted out the actual number of those refugees that still exist. And so we know that the report gives us the right number. We're going back to court now to fight those redactions.
It's interesting. We got Donald from Facebook who asked this question. Isn't sending money to the Palestinians just funding terror? Well, if it goes to their agencies, it does. The people of the Palestinian territories are hurting, however. I mean, look, we were over there a lot. It was just over there. I'm going back again in the fall. And Jordan and I have been through those refugee camps. I think the numbers are fraudulent, but the people are living in very difficult situations. A lot of it's the fault of the Palestinian Authority. And that's why the Palestinian Authority leadership is in such desperate shape. But this is a time to get a peace proposal through that will be good for the Israelis and good for the Palestinian people.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, ultimately, again, I think that the tough line, this is the different approach, right? The Obama administration handed out, you know, $350 million to Palestinian territory. Been there, certainly not the case. I mean, there's a couple nice buildings for government officials, maybe a hotel here or there, but most of it looks, I mean, pretty rough and tough.
Oh, yeah. I mean, was we the last time we were there? I mean, these territories were very difficult.
Very difficult. What the UN, the UN buildings
yes.
are like
horrible,
crumbling. So, okay, they got $350 million. Fix the building. You know, fix the plumbing for these people so it doesn't radicalize them as much. On top of that, I mean, our $350 million that went in 2016 was not all they got.
Right.
And by the way, that's not including the direct aid to the Palestinians. That
right.
is through the UN. Then they got an additional close to about $250 million direct aid. That's non-security funding. Now, that's where the important part comes in. There's still security funding going.
Right.
And that is because of security for Israel, primarily is because if you have no security forces in the Palestinian territory whatsoever at all, what do you get? Those people rushing the border and very chaotic. And it's getting, you know, chaos was happening and
yep.
gunshots are being fired and people are,
absolutely.
You know, these terrorist balloons coming in from Gaza Strip
right.
on the other side and thousands of people rushing a border on the other with trying to start a conflict. I mean,
yeah, no, this is
things
serious.
Have changed.
Yeah. So there is these reports of what's called Palestinian alienation because of millions of dollars in U.S. aid, which President Trump has put on hold until he makes sure that this is actually going to Palestinian aid, which it's not. So again, I want to say this, and we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Our Government Accountability Project at the ACLJ has produced this incredible report on FOIA, and it covers, I mean, there's a lot of topics in here, and you can get it. It covers everything from the Israel situation we were just talking about, also involving meddling into the Israeli elections that was done by the State Department, talking about foreign governments interfering in elections. Carter Center funding, which has raised a whole series of questions to, again, all focusing on the Palestinian Authority. By funding organizations that are on a terrorist watch list. I mean, you can't make this up. We, of course, have FOIA information on the Clinton-Lynch cover-up, the Comey-Clinton investigation, Uranium One. We've got, I mean, it's a very thorough document. We encourage you to get it. If you're a member of the ACLJ, it's our gift to you. If not a member of the ACLJ, good time to join, especially our matching challenge at ACLJ.org. All right, we've got phone calls coming in as well. 1-800-684-3110. And someone just asked, Linda just asked on Facebook, how can I get a copy of the FOIA request? I believe it is on ACLJ.org.
ACLJ.org/FOIA, FOIA. So that's pretty easy. ACLJ.org/FOIA. So you get the whole report there, and it's breaking down. You've got, again, a table of contents so you can figure out
exactly
where you want to go.
But it's really well written, and it's put together so people can understand
it. Yeah, it's not. This is, again, I mean, for those of you who are watching on Facebook and Periscope, you'll see already, you see this right now. It's not something, it's not an unreadable congressional
only
budget
about
here.
About a half an inch thick.
Yeah, so you can actually get through it, understand where there is, and it points you to it. You want to do more research on any of it, that all that information is there for you.
Linkable.
If you want to go. And so ACLJ.org/FOIA.
So on the Israel matter, my thought is this. I mean, we've got our great book out on Jerusalem. It's available, as you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you're selling books. I think we're going to be doing a special on it at the end of the year here. But let me say this. I think this is important for everybody to understand. There is a comprehensive peace plan coming out. That is a good thing. It's good for the United States. I think it's going to be good for the Palestinian people, and I think it's going to be good for the Israelis. We've given some input, as other, I mean, many, many groups have. This is obviously, but this is the White House initiative led by Jared Kushner and Jason Greenblatt. But I'm very optimistic on where this is going and what could be accomplished here. I think it could be great. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I wasn't going to do this, but I think I need to based on an email I just got. I think we've had some positive developments regarding Pastor Brunson. Not I think, I know we have. And that I don't know about release. I'm not saying a release is imminent like tonight or tomorrow. But there was, it's now been confirmed that there was a meeting in Singapore. There was a Southeast Asia conference that took place. And there was a meeting by our Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and the Foreign Minister of Turkey. And all reports are that it went very, very well. So we're looking forward to the second phase of the pastor's release, which will be his return home. I hope I'll be able to report that over the weekend. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign.
Yep, that's at aclj.org. You can go online. You'll see the matching challenge, too, there as well. A lot of work going on. You know, we talked about the Brunson matter. That is all through the American Center for Law and Justice and a team there. We talk about this FOIA report that I'm holding in my hand. And if you're listening on the radio broadcast, you can go to aclj.org. Slash FOIA, and this just is a sample. I mean, if you knew the documentation that goes into putting this together, we showed it to you before. So before, I mean, you could put the stacks would go past where you could even see on the screen on one of these matters. ACLJ.org, you'll see matching challenge. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online aclj.org.
Everyone taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. It's Friday. So what we're trying to do on some Fridays is give you the chance to ask. We've got some topics we want to cover. We just covered the Israel situation. I want to talk about the economic numbers. We're going to talk about Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. That's moving well, but we want to give you some information about that. And but it's Friday, so it's open topics, and you could ask us just about anything, and we may or may not answer it, but we are taking a variety of topics.
Yeah, and that includes if you want to talk about the Russia matter. I mean, if you want to talk about it today, we're trying to update you on some other matters. We did spend some time this week talking about that, but to get into some of the other issues going on. But if you want to talk about
it. I like the way you call it, the Russia matter.
The Russia matter. And a few of the phone lines started lining up. 1-800-684-3110. You can ask a question about that as well. It's been in the news a lot, again, the entire week. And if you didn't get in maybe a couple days ago when we did address it and you had a question, we had a lot of good questions.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be on with George Stephanopoulos on ABC this week to kind of give
That's good to let people know because our Friday broadcast. Yep. So if you tune into the Sunday shows, a lot of that too, it's easy to access. It runs a lot of times. You can get it online. I think they put a lot of it online as well. But, you know, of course, that's ABC.
I'll be on with George Stephanopoulos and my new glasses.
And your new glasses.
So I can see.
ABC News.
All right, before we get to the calls, and we got a lot
media.
Yeah, there you go. 1-800-684-3110. The big economic news too. Our director of policy, Harry Hutchinson's there. So what do we have? I mean, what has happened here?
Well, a number of things. Number one, the unemployment rate has fallen to 3.9%.
What does
that mean?
That's
the lowest unemployment rate in about 18 years. Essentially, it means that we are at full employment. Indeed, there are jobs that are going wanting because there are insufficient number of people who are qualified to fill those jobs. In addition, economic growth has exceeded 4.1%. When President Trump took office, he suggested that we needed to create 25 million new jobs and achieve economic growth of over 4%. His critics said it was indeed unachievable. The critics are wrong. And so we have seen progress on a number of fronts in terms of regulatory reform, tax cuts, the elimination of the individual mandate with respect to Obamacare. All of these things are driving the economy forward, and I think we are in for a good future.
And it means the economy is booming, not in just states where, you know, the economy is on the uptick in the last, you know, 5 years. That means nationally.
Yes.
So in places that have not had great, you know, economic times, they've been in rough times. And I think that's why you saw the president yesterday in Pennsylvania. He's heading to places like Ohio. They are those are states that are significantly recovering right now. I mean, that's why he carried them. You start with Pennsylvania, you go across the country, Ohio, you get into Michigan. I mean, this is why President Trump is President Trump, is these areas of the country that were significant economic players for such a long period of time and really got hit with when the foreign markets really came in, whether it's the auto industries, the coal industry basically being shut down in that area between basically getting into Eastern Virginia, West Virginia, the steel industry in Pittsburgh. You know, I mean, all these things, they're back. They're coming back. I mean, they're coming back very quickly.
I was with a gentleman that owns one of the larger steel manufacturing companies in the United States, and he said that for the first time in decades, he's on three full shifts. So, Harry, those are the kind – and we had a – when the president came in, we talked about deregulation. We put forward some policy plans. You're seeing that these kind of policies are really having an impact.
Absolutely. And so, for instance, the president has lifted the restrictions on the Keystone Pipeline, consistent with what Jordan just suggested. Manufacturing jobs are actually coming back. Many analysts suggested previously that manufacturing could not come back. We have created over 800,000 manufacturing jobs over the last 18 months. Over the prior period of 18 months or so, we created around 10,000 jobs in manufacturing. So manufacturing is coming back. And so many areas of the country like Pennsylvania, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan are on the upswing. And it's about time.
So Claire on Facebook said, such good news on unemployment. Then what's the reaction where I was yesterday, Capitol Hill?
Well, it depends what side of the aisle you're on. There's really no way to interpret this as anything but good news, Jay. Basically, the president's economic plan that he campaigned on has begun to be put in place, and it is working. All of the evidence says that, the tax cuts, the deregulation. But yet there are, I would say, more than some. There are even many on the left here who are trying to spin this as bad news. But here's the thing, Jay. There is now being put together a plan to make those tax cuts on the individual side permanent. That would be a very big political issue. And so I would just give some advice to those on the left here in Washington, D.C. If they want to go back to the ballot box and campaign against the numbers that you and Harry are talking about, I think that's a very dangerous proposition for you. But to simply answer your question.
I was about to ask
you
about the impact on the midterms, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be solely dependent on if they are willing to interpret these numbers plainly, according to the simple fact, or whether they're going to put a partisan spin on it. And I would just go back to what Jordan said. If they put a partisan spin on it, that rust belt that Donald Trump carried, I would look for his party to carry that in the next elections as well.
All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, this is on the Kavanaugh nomination as well, yep. Which is another issue that will likely have a great effect on the midterm elections, yep. Because you've got a lot of states that Donald Trump won, that Democrats are running in the U.S. Senate, especially for re-election. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, it's an honor to be on your program, Jay. Maybe you just answered my question, but despite the outcome of the midterms, the Republican Senate stays in place at least until January. So I'm not sure why it's so important that we nominate Judge Kavanaugh before the midterms.
Well, I'll tell you why. The Supreme Court's back in session, Jim, on October 1st, which means you'll have 8 justices. So you want to have a full complement, and we've got some cases pending. You want to have 9 justices on the Supreme Court's what the Constitution requires, so you don't want it to just sit there. Having said that, there's a great piece out in Politico by Lisa Blatt. I know Lisa. She was in the Solicitor General's office. She argued 35 cases while she was with the government. More than any other woman in U.S. history. She worked in the Solicitor General's office for 13 years during the Clinton, Bush, and Obama administrations. I worked on some cases with her. She says, I'm a liberal Democrat, and she's a feminist, and I expect my friends on the left will criticize me for speaking up for Kavanaugh, but we will all benefit from having smart, qualified, and engaged judges on our highest court, regardless of the administration that nominates them. She starts it by saying, sometimes a superstar is just a superstar. And I concur with Lisa Blatt on that. And, Harry, you reviewed Judge Kavanaugh's jurisprudence. He is a very smart judge, a very good lawyer.
Absolutely. So he has a very solid and a very thorough record. The Democrats recognize that he is highly qualified, but he's also a conservative. So as the Republicans press ahead to confirm Kavanaugh, the Democrats have come up with a strategy. Delay. Demand more and more documents, despite the fact that he has submitted over 1 million pages for review, which suggests that it will indeed be impossible to go through all of those pages, yet the Democrats want 3 million more pages of documents. It's ridiculous.
All right, we're taking your phone calls. We're here for another 30 minutes of the broadcast. Facebook, you're welcome back. I know you had a little technical glitch there, but you're back on with us now. Periscope, of course, is on. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. It's Friday. It means we talk about a variety of issues. But 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, all you need to do is go over to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it there, both audio and the video program. You can get on a lot of social media platforms as well, the broadcast, including the television broadcast. And we'll be back with more, including your calls, at 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, it's Friday. We're taking your comments on a variety call. We talked about Israel. We talked about the new peace plan that's being rolled out there. We're going to take questions on that. We talked about Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. He gave me an update on that. Harry Hutchison just gave me an update on the economy. And we've got a lot of callers coming in. So we're going to do something that we normally don't do in the first 5 minutes of the next second half hour, as we call it. But we're going to take some calls right here so we can clear the lines and let you participate. By the way, I didn't get a chance to say this, I don't think, but welcome to KBRT. I mean, they covered us for years. We've been on there for 30 minutes, but now the entire hour broadcast, we are on KBRT, which is a huge station in Los Angeles. And I think we run, I don't know if we're running live there, if it's tape delayed. So it's 11 to noon Pacific time, which is just a couple hours after we record the broadcast. But that's great to have KBRT taking the full hour of the broadcast. We encourage your stations to do the same thing. Let's go ahead, Jordan, and take a phone call. We can try to do it in the order of people calling in.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin in Idaho on line three. Justin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Justin, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to go ahead and just briefly discuss what you guys talked about Gaza for a second. I do think it's really irresponsible that the United States is pumping hundreds of millions of dollars into, something where they don't know where the money's going. But at the same time, we do have to recognize that it is a conflict with, you know, there's two sides to every coin, right? So, for example, when you guys talked about people in Gaza trying to start a conflict, if you look at the Great Return Marchers, which were not organized by Hamas, within the first 6 weeks, no one had even attempted to breach any sort of border fence.
Where? What was not organized by Hamas?
The people in the border. That did come out of the West Bank.
Yeah, that was a West Bank move. That was a West Bank move. Yeah, that was not Gaza. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Despite the fact that, you know, for 6 weeks, there hadn't been anybody attempting to breach a fence, there was live fire for every Friday of those 6 weeks.
Live fire from who? You think the Israelis were just firing on innocent civilians?
They were, sir.
Justin, I've represented Israelis' interests before the International Criminal Court, and every time that's been raised, it's been proven to be by international tribunals absolutely incorrect. The Israelis do not fire on innocent civilians randomly. Are there sometimes civilians caught in crossfire when there's conflict? Yes, unfortunately, that's part of it, because they use human shields. But you did hear me also say, Justin, that I am concerned about the well-being of the Palestinian peoples. You listened. It sounds like you listened to the beginning of the broadcast. And I am concerned about the economic needs, but you've got to – I think you would – Justin, do you agree that the Palestinian leadership – I mean, the Palestinian people think this – needs to change? What's your thoughts on that?
Palestinian leadership absolutely needs to change. I'm with you 100% on that. But even by Israel's assertion, by Israel's claim, only two-thirds of the people that they sniped were – quote-unquote Hamas operatives.
Well,
it wasn't even
– You just said it wasn't Hamas operatives.
It's not the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip is sitting over missile, you know, rocket attacks, missiles. Their latest nasty thing is to put in balloons that look like a balloon and are filled with small explosives. That is very different what's happening in the Gaza Strip, which, by the way, didn't just get this cut off by Israel, but the Egyptians are cut them off completely. So it's a majority Muslim military-led government, with al-Sisi, who came to the streets and overthrew the Muslim Brotherhood there, said no more with you. So it's not just, you know, the Israeli Jewish state that has done this and isolated the Gaza Strip. It is the crazy Hamas leadership, which used to be the most extreme until they got outdone by ISIS. They don't get as much attention now. But honestly, so with ISIS back, you know, on the run and basically almost defeated completely, guess who's going to come back to the forefront again? Is Hamas. And on the other side in the West Bank, you know why I think the people are doing that? Because their leaders take all this money. So they don't get any of the money, they don't get any of the resources, and so they'll throw their kid up for $20,000 to be a human shield, and that's what they get.
Harry, we've looked at it. Go ahead.
Jordan's absolutely correct. One of the big issues in the Middle East is simply Arab leaders who are engaged in misrule and corruption. They are taking money, and they are not serving their own people.
And Fan, quickly here, Congress is also on top of this as well. I mean, this is something Congress wanted this UNRWA report for a long time.
They need to statutorily revoke those funds so the administration doesn't have to stand in that gap, because, Jay, those funds violate U.S. law if they go to a terrorist organization, which Hamas is.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110 on this Friday on a variety of topics. 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Oh, I think it's a Friday we should play a song at the end of the broadcast. And I think that's the one. Yeah, I like that one. We got the live version of that. Well, they're all live, but I think we did that at... At Judson University. So we'll do that. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Harry Hutchinson's in the studio with us, our Director of Policy, our Director of Government Affairs, Stan Bennett, Tylus on Friday. As we go, it's casual Friday for Stan. You're never Tylus on Fridays.
I usually am on Friday when the House and Senate are gone.
Yeah.
That's my standard.
It's a recess.
Yeah. 1 week.
Thank the Lord. Give us a breather. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take them.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. We're going to keep going over because we're talking about a lot of different topics today.
Yep.
So Brenda in Kansas on line one. Brenda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You are on the air.
Thank
Hi, Brenda.
You for taking my call. How
sure.
are you?
Good.
I was calling because you remember in 2016, December, when President Obama expelled the Russian diplomats?
Yes.
I want to know if any of those people that were expelled were indicted by Mueller.
I don't think it was. You know, I don't know if that was. You had two indictments that came down by the special counsel. One was on Russian entities, and one was on 13 16 individuals. I'm
Most
not sure.
Most of those 13 individuals were military. So, I mean, there could have been times where they were attachés, possibly, during
that
time period. But these were like basically their CIA guys, military intelligence guys, and private business, you know, who were running these companies, you know, those like troll farms were being run as private businesses with offices on the street. I mean, they were not hiding anything. So most of the people, I believe, and because some of them actually spoke, were running them out of, you know, Russia, out of Moscow and other places. And there were a lot of government officials there. Obviously, we've expelled a lot of diplomats. Remember the San Francisco, their consulate there, which was one of their largest in the country, and one of the actually first, because San Francisco has a really large Russian population, always has had one, and that is still shut down.
All right, we're taking more calls, 1-800-684-3110, and we're hitting a variety of topics. We're going in the order that the people called in, so maybe we're going to be moving around the topics here, but we've got a couple phone lines open, so if you want to talk to us about any of these topics or something that's on your mind, 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, Bob in Florida on line four. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Bob.
Thank you. I have two questions, so I'll try to make them brief.
Sure.
But the first one is, if the parties in the Middle East, the Israelis and the Palestinians, were to agree to a two-state solution, would it be up to the United Nations to draw up the borders for that new state, like they did Israel?
That's a great question. Let me stop you on that one. I'll let you ask your second question in a moment. So that is the way that we are outlining it, we the United States, is that the borders of the states would be determined by bilateral negotiations. That is, like, they'll be multilateral in the sense there'll be other people involved, but it's up to the Palestinian Authority and the Israelis to come to the secured borders for Israel and borders that make economic sense for the Palestinian Authority. That will be part of a negotiated process. And then if there was a recognition of an independent state, that would be done by the United Nations and world governments as well. So that's a great question, but that's how that's done. That's done through negotiations. What's your second one, Bob? It was on the economy?
Yes, it was. The second, my wife was reading something yesterday. I don't know the source of it, but she said that some economists are predicting that within the next 2 years, we are going to be facing an economic downturn, possibly a recession. And I was wondering if you and your staff had any indications that that might be the case.
Well, let me go to Harry Hutchinson, who teaches law and economics and is an expert in this area and studies this regularly. Look, it's hard. You never can. There's always factors that could come into any economy that can move things. I mean, that we all know. But based on trends and where we are now, what do you assess?
Well, I think those forecasts are wrong. In other words, that there won't be a recession in the next 2 to 3 years. On the other hand, it's important to realize that there are external factors outside of the control of the United States and the United States government. World events could indeed lead to a recession. Many countries throughout the world are going to face a downturn, for instance, in 2019. And so that could have an indirect impact on the United States. But right now, I think most analysts believe that economic growth is sustainable. I also think that over time, we will need to get a handle on some of our government spending. But right now, things are indeed sustainable.
A lot of people are saying, where's Logan? Speaking of, Logan is working on some projects. We, you know, all these videos and things you see, those have to be produced. And he's working on a whole host of projects. All right, let's go take calls. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-311. I could say he's in a secure bunker, but he's not. He's in good shape.
We got
it's Friday. You can do this.
Two calls are literally between 6 seconds. But, I mean, I guess we've been saying we'll go in order, so... 6 seconds ahead is Jerry in Rhode Island on line 5. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
All right, Jerry, you beat Doug by 6 seconds, so you're on next.
Hello, team.
Hey.
Follow up to Professor Hutchinson's questions about the additional $3 million documents requested in regard to Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
If this was a trial, a judge manages the discovery request. Is there not a similar mechanism saying,
yes,
no, that's unreasonable?
Yes. So it's, 22? I mean, what was one person, it would take them 22 years to read it or something, Harry?
I think 7 years if they read continuously.
Yeah, like all the time. So, this is, they will produce the necessary and appropriate documents for the Senate Judiciary Committee to review. But this idea of everything he wrote that has nothing to do with anything they need to be reviewing is political nonsense. So, Than, give us the update on where we are then. And by the way, we've got a couple phone lines open now at 1-800-684-3110. But, Than, what do we have?
Yeah, look, there's already more than 300 opinions from Judge Kavanaugh's time on the D.C. Circuit that are available.
Which is what they should be focusing on, by the way. That's what they should be focusing on?
That would show what his jurisprudence theory is, and yet they haven't found a single substantive thing in those to oppose him by. So they've asked for these million documents, most of which are unrelated to anything he had decision-making control over. But Jay, to very simply answer the question of the caller, the person responsible with shutting that off is Chairman Grassley, and he has said August 15th is the deadline for those documents, and he has also said next week he will give us a date when those hearings will start. So this is going to come to a close in a reasonable order and in a reasonable time period.
We've got another segment coming up, and we are taking calls on a lot of topics. We've got a couple more phone lines came in right away. We do have a couple open, though. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We could take another one before we hit this next break as well. We're doing it in order of the phone calls. We're talking about so many different topics, and phone lines are filling up quick. But there is one, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Doug in California on line 2. He was next, but six seconds behind.
Yeah, there you go, Doug. You're on the air.
Hello, Jay. How are you doing today?
Great.
Hey, I got a quick question for you about the economy.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to hear the good numbers about how the economy is doing, but I do remember that when Obama was president and he would talk about the unemployment numbers, you know, you'd always hear folks on the right, and I'm a conservative as well.
I understand.
They would and talk about, you know, what the real numbers are, the real unemployment numbers.
Yeah, because
and
they would say it doesn't include the people that have stopped looking for jobs, Harry. That was the way they went.
Absolutely. So the focus is on the labor force participation rate. So we calculate the unemployment rate based on labor force participation. Are you actually looking for a job? If you're not actually looking for a job, but you have been laid off for years, you are not counted within the Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers for unemployment. And so one of the huge criticisms with respect to the Obama administration and the numbers that they publish many of these numbers without adjusting for the extremely low labor force participation rate. The labor force participation rate during the Trump administration, it's rising. People are coming into the workforce, and yet the unemployment rate is falling.
Yeah, so more people are getting into the workforce looking for jobs, yet the numbers are still falling. That's different than, well, 4% of the people, it's a 6% unemployment rate, but it's really 8% because so many people have stopped looking. Here, people are coming in, and the numbers are going down. Yeah, that's a big plot positive. How big is that going to be for the midterms, do you think?
I think economics, I mean, it's the economy stupid. We always hear that, right? I mean, so if that is the case still to this day, has it gotten so good that people forget? I mean, sometimes if you look in politics, it kind of
remember goes. The president said you're going to say stop winning so much.
Yeah, I mean, people. But, and then look, I mean, you've got basic. And I think what's great about this is it's not the four or five cities that were doing great in the United States and the four or five states. Remember, under the Obama administration, it was a few of the states with low tax or no tax states. This means the entire country, places that were in the middle, the middle, you know, the middle of the country, that Rust Belt where you had a lot of workers, but were not necessarily trained for the next level, who are getting the training. But also the jobs that they did have are coming back.
So, Than, let me ask you this quick. We got like 40 seconds left. And that is the midterms. And we'll talk more about this when we come back from the right. Historically, the party in power loses seats. What do you think is going to happen here?
I think it's going to depend on if local candidates focus on this good economic news and promise to continue the deregulation and the permanency of the tax cuts. I think, Jay, if candidates run on that, regardless of which party they're in, I think those candidates will win. And by the way, I think Donald Trump's going to be out echoing that message in these key races. So I actually think Republicans have a pretty good chance now to hang on to the House. That would definitely defy history, though, Jay.
Yeah, no question. History's against it. And Senate, you think an increase in seats?
I think the Republicans are poised to pick up somewhere between 1 to 3 seats in the Senate, yes.
All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to come out from the break for the last segment in just a moment. 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
I like the music for the Jay Sekulow Band. Those are some of my favorite tunes. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We've got Harry Hutchison, our director of policy, with me and Jordan here in our media studio, and we've got Dan Bennett in our Washington, D.C. office, where I was until just yesterday late. But I'm glad to be back in God's country for a few days. Not that Washington's not, Dan, but it is what it is. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110.
A lot of people live outside of the district. They get outside of it each day.
Yes.
I don't want to disclose then where you are exactly, but where after that, but you are in D.C. right now, but they leave and get outside the borders of it, because certainly I would not call that God's country.
What, D.C.?
Not inside the perimeter, you know, inside the little square, the diamond of D.C.
Yeah.
And I think most people would agree with that.
I think that's right.
You try to impact it, though. That's where you got to go, right, to impact things.
Everybody on the program today has been a Virginian. Are you technically, have you been a Virginian?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for many, many years. And I would just say, look, God is in my heart, so he's here.
I'm from a theological base. I was talking more of a metaphysical.
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah. So anyways, everybody on this set and has been a Virginian one time in their life, and I like the Commonwealth.
Yeah, I think most have lived in D.C. too.
Yes. All right, but let's go ahead and take a phone call, 1-800-684-3110.
Dave in New Hampshire on line 3 on Pastor Brunson. Dave, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, I'd like to thank you, Jay, and your whole team for everything you do for us believers and for our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wanted to just ask one question about Pastor Andrew Brunson.
Yes.
Now that he's on house arrest, I know he's not allowed to leave the country, he's not allowed to leave his home, but is he allowed to have other people come into his home for prayer meetings and church services?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Dave, because I want to protect Pastor Brunson and his family. I'm not going to answer that. I told you there'd be questions I'd answer and questions I won't, and I'm not going to answer that one for security reasons for the pastor and his family. I will say this. He is very glad to be home to his home in Turkey, but he really wants to come back to his home country of origin, which is the United States of America. And we had a bit of good news today, a good high-level meetings, highest level, other than a president to president. We had the foreign secretary, foreign minister of foreign affairs for Turkey, and Mike Pompeo, which is his counterpart, the secretary of state, meet. And all indications are that the meeting was very fruitful and that there may well be a framework for release. I don't want to get into the details of it. I'm not going to go into the details of what he and his family are doing while they're in Turkey. I will just say things are moving in the right direction. I hope to have more news on that next week. Look, these are complicated processes. You have lived this with us in real time on radio here. When this is done, when he's home, I'm going to have our video teams put together a whole program, a series of, maybe even a movie, on all the times we talked about it live and the videos we've run and the things we've done to where we thought he was going to be released and wasn't, and then he finally got home and how all that worked, so everybody can remember how difficult these processes are and how you've got to stay right on top of it, but we are, and we're encouraged by those results. Again, we're taking your calls in the last segment here at 800-684-3110.
All right, back to the phones we go. Again, very,
very close.
You got
Stephanie at 9:34, and you've got Frank at 9:28. So you're gonna have to go with Stephanie first.
Yeah, Stephanie in California, line 4. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, everyone. I have a quick question for you.
Yep.
In reference to, you know, we know that Donald Trump is the head of the DOJ, and with the Carter Page FISA warrants and all the other documents that Rosenstein is refusing to release, my question is, why isn't the president demanded that they be released?
Yeah, so it's being released to, these are questions of documents being released to Congress and being declassified. Look, here's the situation. There are procedures and protocols in place for declassification. And there are branches of government. Here you've got the legislative branch, which is the Article 1 authority, and then you got Article 2, which is the executive, which includes the Department of Justice. So there right now is a bit of a clash over documents. There is a process for review that is usually ongoing, because these requests happen from time to time. I'm not going to say anything. I don't know anything more than that. I'm not involved in the decision whether documents should be declassified or released, but I know that you've read it. There's processes going on.
I think the president's not being reckless also. I mean, there's issues. I mean, this is the FISA court, as much as we believe that there's been abuses here, I mean, when you look at what has been reported and what has been found out already by Congress about the relationships between Peter Strzok and some of the judges, the relationship, what was used as the basis to get FISA warrants on these individuals that we do know about. At the same time, on, you know, these exist to protect Americans. The hope is that you can reform them. I mean, right? The hope is, we talked about this a long time ago. I think it was right when the election was won and Jeff Sessions was announced as Attorney General. We said this is the department that is going to be the hardest to reform in all of government. Number two, State Department. Number one, Department of Justice. It was so politicized into a weapon by the Obama administration, extremely effectively. I will give them that. Extremely effectively, but it was politically weaponized. So where you could barely, or in some cases, and look at the people we dealt with inside the FBI and the IRS matter, with the conservative group targeting, you know, so DOJ overseeing the FBI, the DOJ officials involved. You could not really differentiate who's the political appointee here and who's the bureaucrat, because they were in lockstep. Yeah. And so they were not undermining the Obama administration. They weren't leaking out documents. They were working hand together. And then remember, some of those Obama political appointees at the very end switch over. Yeah. At the very end, they switch over to the bureaucracy. We know that most of the bureaucracy in Washington is leftist. You can know by political donations that are public. So you can go through all the names of people that work for the federal government and where they donate political money. It's no surprise. They're to the left. They're Democrats primarily. At the same time, it was weaponized. Yeah. I mean, it was a department that has been weaponized. And I think you got to take your time. They're going to – if you wanted to declassify, could you imagine what is going on there? I mean, with the people that are taping it. I mean, even
but
if
it's a process. Yeah, as Jordan said, it's a process. Yeah. You got to be deliberate. You got to be careful.
I didn't think you would start declassifying lots of things that we don't usually. Frank in Connecticut
the last
on
caller
line
today.
One is our final caller today. Frank, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, guys. Thanks for all you do.
Sure.
And tell President Trump when you see him, great job, keep it up. But my question is about sanctuary cities. And why is it okay for a city or a state to not follow the law when I have to?
Well, it shouldn't be, but this isn't about the law, unfortunately. It's about politics. And this is one of these situations where there's political issues here. Look, what is the chance, Than, of any type of immigration reform in the next session of Congress? Do we have a shot?
In the next session after the elections, I think there's a shot, Jay. But on the sanctuary cities issue, the only thing that I would say is, look, if local law enforcement's not going to cooperate with federal officials to enforce the law, there is a recourse for the federal government. It's to deny them funding on that course. And guess what the Trump administration has done? They've done that.
Let me ask this question on a Friday. The Republicans keep the House and Senate, Jordan?
I think the trend is up right now. I think you see President Trump back on that campaign trail. Look how many people show up at those rallies. Feels a lot like when he, the polls may not always show it, but it feels a lot like when he won.
Yeah, Harry,
I agree totally with Jordan.
Than, you've already kind of said it.
Two months ago, Jay, I told you they'd lose the House. Today, I think they're going to keep both chambers.
There you go. What does Jay think? I think that the Republicans have a shot at keeping both, but 2 months is a long time in politics. That does it for our broadcast today. You have a great weekend. Pray for Pastor Brunson and his family this weekend as there may be movements. I'll be with you if you watch ABC this week with George Stephanopoulos. I'll be on with him on Sunday. That'll do it for the broadcast today. We'll talk to you next week.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, acLJ.org.